You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
Hello, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Krista Moore. I've been here many times. I've spoken on occasion. And I wanted to share with you this morning a personal journey of mine tied into the theme of letting go. Because I have found that in my journey, this has been the most difficult thing and the most trying and has pulled the greatest things out of me. I often use the metaphor of the caterpillar and the butterfly because often in my life I have felt very much like the caterpillar. And I know that all of us, on occasion, feel that strain as if we are crawling along. But this morning, I want to share a message of hope. That's something that came through me, through my process, and which I began to create in something called Evolutionary Women's Workshops. And this has truly been a miracle in my life in terms of witnessing the power of people to blossom and to grow. And so my message of hope this morning is about that transformation that is possible for each and every one of you through this process of letting go. So what do I mean by letting go? There are so many different layers of letting go. And one of the parts of letting go that I find difficult for people, for me, is the idea that letting go means that we're giving up something, that we're losing ourself or control. But in my experience, letting go is receiving. Because with open hands, we have little left to lose, and we're welcoming in the love, the opportunities, challenges, and the growth that is necessary for us to develop into the next best version of ourselves. And so this morning, I was going to share with you three levels of letting go to consider for yourself, and then share what it meant to me throughout my life and the different parts of my life that have led to where I am now. The first level of letting go is really very personal. It's very much like the Mr. Rogers video. It has to do with our own mind. It has to do with our inner stuff and the ego. It's often created by fear, and it separates us from other people. It creates illusions of difficulty and challenge that often are a result of our attitude or our unforgiveness toward others, including ourselves. And there are so many ways that you can shift out of that prison, really, of our own mental landscape. And I have discovered that, for me, sharing my story, sharing truth, sharing my difficulties, being honest, has been truly liberating in so many ways. One of the things that we've experienced in the Evolutionary Women's Circle is the power of the group to transform thought. And so, for example, we would join hands and share and pour our energy into the space. And one of the things that we do that I find truly transformative is to also share our fears, our difficulties, and pour them into the center of the space, into a place where they can be held and transformed. Because as soon as we hear someone else voicing their fear, our minds are lifted. There's a sense of relief that we're not alone and that the challenge is one that's shared. And I found myself saying recently in one of the workshops, fear is a collective problem, not a personal one. And it cannot be healed alone. It must be healed through sharing and through love. And we cannot love alone. And that's why self-help can only go so far. You can only read so many books and so many transformative books, and you hit a wall. You've just gone as far as you can, and you're still suffering from the same problem. Why is that? Because we cannot love alone. We need another person to mirror back to us our true greatness and our brilliance, and to correct and shift our thoughts into a more loving space, a more compassionate one, and certainly a more generous one in terms of how we view ourselves in the world. So that's really the personal letting go of our own inner stuff and allowing ourselves to be open to something new. The second has to do with relationships and our part in the world and how we interact with the world. It could be institutions or organizations. It could be families, networks, communities, different places where we find ourselves. And often we may find restriction or difficulty that things have always been done this way. This is the way things are. And so letting go can mean questioning the validity of something or empowering ourselves to offer a different perspective. And this is can be very terrifying, because when we're involved with other people, we have other people's expectations and responsibilities. And so it can be, it takes a tremendous courage to question. It takes tremendous courage to offer yourself, to offer your heart and what you have to offer to a community. I often also find that in relationships, that one of the most challenging experiences one can go through is death. Losing a loved one can be completely devastating. I've been through many, many deaths, and witnessed my father-in-law and cared for him before his death. And it was, it really challenged me personally in terms of what I valued in my life, what I was doing with my life. I'll get into that in more detail with the story that I will share with you. But often letting go and having a grief can be a gift. If we accept the gift of that letting go, that person has created a space, they've given us a gift, and that we can learn from whatever it is that they left us and carry forward and grow out of that pain. Much like the caterpillar entering the cocoon or the chrysalis, there's this sense that our life is changing, and it's almost like a mini death. It feels like death because it is so scary. We don't know what to expect. We can't control it. We don't have personal control over what exactly is going to happen. And so it can be very humbling to be that caterpillar suddenly finding yourself in this swarm of shedding the old ways, the old thoughts, and sometimes old relationships, people that you love dearly. And the third level of, in my opinion, the cocoon, when you're in that cocoon and you're in that very vulnerable space, is that it kind of brings out the absolute down on your knees necessity to get to basics, to get to the truth of why you're here, what you have to offer, what true meaning is for you. And that's a very personal journey. It's something that each person decides for themselves. But for me, I will share my journey and what it has meant for me to surrender and to become greater through this process. About 20 years ago, I was living in a small town in Alliston. I was married very young, sort of also going to school at the same time. I was working full-time at a corporate environment in IT. I had been there since I was a student. And having been a very creative teenager, it was a little disillusioning to suddenly enter the workforce and be required to hone my skills, in one way of putting it, and become to fit into that environment. I worked with a lot of men, which was a challenge in itself, that my ways were no longer fitting in that space. And it took me a lot of energy to nurture myself and to create safety in that space. One of my friends that I was working with, she really knew me. She was able to see my potential. She sort of saw me sometimes break loose a little and actually let go. And she said one day, Krista, you have this shell around you, and it's like you're pecking, peck, peck, peck. And one day that shell is just going to blow. And I don't know if I believed her at the time. I hoped, but I wasn't sure. Because even in my mid-20s, I felt like I was 40 years old. I had already settled down. I had a job. I was doing all the things I was supposed to be doing. I had a baby at home, and I was commuting back and forth an hour and a half each day and finishing my degree at night. Something happened to me during that process. I found myself becoming more and more disillusioned with the way things were. I became aware that there was something greater for me, but I had no idea what it was. I knew I was a writer, and so I did my best to be creative on the side. I sort of hid my spiritual life. It was a private thing, and I didn't really have anyone to connect with about it. I would find myself driving in my little Neon. I had one of the first Neons, up and down the Highway 89, listening to these inspirational tapes. And I would listen, and I would feel the energy of that possibility for myself. But there was a part of me that knew that the way I was living right now was not allowing that to happen. There was like an energy drain that was going on inside of me. I laid awake at night feeling almost like I was going to die. And I know that sounds dramatic, but when you're going through depression, it's anything but something that you're just making up. The feeling inside of me was real, and it was something that was really pushing me and calling me to wake up and to come alive. But I didn't know how, by myself. I didn't really have a truly supportive environment, in my opinion. And so my soil was not the best for planting a new life. And I found myself one day, and it was a metaphor for me, but it was a very powerful one, and it perfectly fits with what we just witnessed. I got these seeds from a piece of fruit I was eating, and I walked down the steps of my little back deck, which looked back into a sod farm of emptiness. And in the corner of our yard, there was really nothing there, but I dug this piece of dirt out, and I planted a seed, like a thought, for everything that I wished for in my life. They were seeds of hope and despair, because I had no guarantee that they would ever happen. But in that moment, some kind of feeling of possibility or brazenness, I suppose, led me down the steps, and I planted the seeds one at a time, and I said a prayer to myself of the things that I felt were sacred, were important, that mattered to me, things that I didn't have at that moment. And although I was very grateful to my husband, to my son, I knew that my life had come to a place where my gifts were not being expressed, and I had to do something. And so in my desperation, I planted seeds, hoping that they would somehow stir the pot. Nothing happened right away. I went through a pretty deep depression first. And it took me 6 months to finally ask for some help, to finally reach out and get some direction, and to figure out that I wasn't alone, to take the shame away from what I was experiencing, and to find inspiration for what's possible. And a truly good friend sort of popped into my life. And this person seemed to be able to hear me at a level that no one else could. I poured out my dreams to this person. I cried it out. I confessed how I was really feeling, even though my facade at work was quite together. And I had put on a very good show, let's say. And everyone believed that I was just fine, including my mother and father. Nobody knew. They were amazed that I had any difficulty at all. I guess I was a very good actor right from a very young age. But this opening that happened precipitated a series of events that completely transformed my life within 6 months. Within 6 months' time, I had moved away from Alliston, left behind a marriage that I thought was solid as a rock, even though my heart was breaking. I took my son and lived with my parents for a brief period, but then found a place in close to my work. And I entered into a phase of 2 years of independence, which was truly liberating. And I actually dated, which is something I never did. I never allowed myself to have any fun. And during this wonderful time, I was encouraged by people that saw me and recognized my true spirit to join community theater, to take singing lessons. And in some serendipitous moment, I got an invitation to attend a neighbor's jam band, which was terrifying to me. And so I took him up on it, and we ended up performing at several venues and summer festivals. But all of this was sort of in preparation still for something more. I kind of thought that was it, but it wasn't. And so I lost my job, which was the greatest gift of all. So letting go of that wasn't very difficult. I had freedom, and I had a new family, a great partner who supported me, and my life was really flowing. I became interested in my creativity more and more. I became able to share my gifts. I got an agent, and I began acting. And for a period of a few years, I found myself excited by life, being on TV, getting lots of attention. And it felt wonderful. I was developing new skills. I was truly transforming into the butterfly. And a lot of people were amazed at what my life looked like then versus what it had only a few years before. And yet I still wasn't done. There was still more. Some of those other seeds were still creating something. After a couple of years of watching the industry kind of fall apart in Toronto and not getting as much work as I wanted, I also felt, even when I was on set, that there was something missing, that I wasn't really able to express my gifts the way I really wanted to. And I was really, you know, saying other people's words and other people's intentions, but not my own. And so I did have a sort of falling apart again, but it was very brief because I was already accustomed to the flow of life and what it requires to change. And so after another encounter on a trip, kind of a pilgrimage that I didn't intend, I was going on a course for something technical and ended up meeting people that I just thought were amazing. I was totally opened up again, sharing my dreams, and we were all sharing visions with each other and watching the sun come up on a Southampton beach. And when I got back, I realized there was still something that I needed to do. And so I let go again. I had to surrender my ego again. Even though I had succeeded and done fairly well, there was still a period that I felt lost, and I couldn't do it alone. And one of the reasons I couldn't get as happy as I wanted to be was that I was trying to do it alone. And so I had to learn to let go of expectations, let go of my desires, certain desires, and even some disempowering relationships. And as I did that, suddenly an inflow of new ideas came to me. I would wake up at night like I was just completely on fire. I couldn't stop my pen from flowing. I'd wake my husband up or I'd turn the light on and I'd be writing down things on my notebook. There were titles for websites and all kinds of weird things, businesses, communities, women's groups. And I was like, what is all this that's coming? What is all this? This isn't what I intended. This isn't what I had thought. But it felt wonderful. It felt truly exciting. And so the third phase of my growth was in the last year or two where I began to put it out there and ask. And some really lovely people joined me. And I became interconnected in a community of women and men who I could really share with and who I felt were inspired by what I was giving. And now I'm at a point where these women are inspiring me so much. I'm so amazed. I go into the groups now and it feels truly miraculous. The level of depth and sharing that goes on. And when people come back and say, this week was completely different for me. You know, this has really changed how I see things. Or this has happened, or this has happened. It gives me great faith in this process of letting go and surrendering. Now, those seeds that I planted 20 years ago, I can't say if that really meant anything, or if that did anything, or if anything really shifted externally, but certainly something happened internally. You know, and did it all come easily? No. Did it come without effort? Not at all. And did I do it alone? Never. Never. It took blessings beyond my comprehension to orchestrate the coming together of people, places, and prospects that I could never possibly fathom on my own. I cannot explain how it is all growing or how everything happens, but I am also feeling fully empowered and responsible and dedicated to making sure that it does. What I have learned above all else is that when I let go, and when I trust, because that's the big part of letting go, when I trust and let go of what I thought was limiting for me, whole new worlds can begin. I wanted to also bring back to you some of the ways that maybe perhaps you could consider for yourself how to let go. It might be that you create a quiet space for yourself in the morning or when you're driving in your car. Like I did, I had my inspirational tapes or books that I enjoyed. Or just allowing yourself to ask, how do I actually feel? Do I feel right now in this space or with this relationship or wherever I am, do I feel like I can be myself? Am I being honest with myself? Can I really be true? Those are tough questions, but they're so worth asking. Because sometimes it does require great courage to enter that cocoon and let go. You don't have to crawl on the floor. You don't have to do it alone. And that leads me to the other part, that you need to seek support. This is a loving community. This is one example of that. There are many more. Whatever your personal interests are, if you have a passion that you love, something that you maybe gave up 20, 30 years ago, I offer you that it's not too late to pick it up. Learn a new instrument. Do something crazy. Find a friend that you can actually talk to or a community that you can rely on. It may be even something so simple as doing things a little differently, like changing some of the habits that create these mental patterns in our brain. You know, driving a different way to work, going along the countryside path, getting lost, You know, writing with your opposite hand, shaking things up a little, buying different colors, wearing different jewelry, just odd little things that can suddenly shift you into a different frame of mind. Very empowering. But these are all different ways that you can just create that little shift that begins a kind of ripple, the butterfly effect. And as you sort of begin to put it out there just a little, you may find that you're influencing other people and that suddenly something is swelling and growing. So just some final words of encouragement. Letting go is trusting that your worst judgments about yourself and others are likely wrong, unfair, and untrue. It is believing the best in yourself and others and acting upon this new belief. Although I may fail or fail to believe in myself at times, there seems to be something in life that has more faith in me than I do. And when I let go, this faith is proven to be both worthy and justified. My new goal in life is to have no goals, but to live each day as an unguarded masterpiece. So I would offer that as wisdom for the journey. And if you would like to join me in any way, you can find more on my website. I offer meditations and different thoughts and tips, and I would love to share with you if you're interested. It's www.kristamoore.com, and I'll be starting another 30 Days of Miracles soon, which is something that's transformative for me. It's kind of spontaneous, where I write every day and see what unfolds and invite a community in to share what's happening for them as well in this sort of area of transformation. And the Evolutionary Women's Circles are continuing and began here at West Hill, so I thank you, Greta and Scott, for allowing that in. And thank you for listening this morning.